wants, which is worship. I'm so glad that we're continuing in the spirit of worship, giving God what he wants. If we give him what he wants, we'll get what we need. This month, the Lord has spoken candidly to me, and we'll be teaching this month on forgiveness. Be teaching on forgive. Forgiven. Forgiveness. I want you to look up at the theme scripture that we have this month. It's on the wall. And let's read it together. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Let's read that again. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Amen. How many of you want to be forgiven? So we got to master the art of forgiving. I want you to really let the Holy Spirit open you up. I believe that this message is for everybody here. And sometimes you might say, well, I wish so-and-so would have been here to hear that. If they were supposed to hear it, they'd be here. Some people are from Missouri, the show me state. So when you hear it, you're going to have to go show them what you heard. You ought to say amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we may feast at your table. Father, let your word come forward. As you have written, sharper than a two-edged sword, let it come and cut away the carnality from your people, that we may be cut and shaped to be the images of God that you have called us to be. Father, we need you. We stand with anticipation, awaiting to hear from the Most High God. So, Father, we ask that you would take everything that has been trying to hinder us, hold it, bind it up, so that we would have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. We're your chosen vessels, God. Empty us of every care that you may fill us with your dunamis power through your word. And we promise to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And Father, as I stand here, I'm calling on you that you would push and press and push and press and push and press the spirit of Felix right out of the way, that I would only be a vessel consecrated by you. Father, I surrender my will and submit myself unto you, that you would have your way. Use me as you see fit, for your people stand to hear from you and not from me. We give you praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse number 17, there will be two passages of scripture that we'll be in today. And the first one is this passage in Genesis. Beginning at verse 17, it reads, "Thus you shall say to Joseph, I beg you, please forgive the trespasses of your brothers and their sin, for they did evil to you. Now, please forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Then his brothers also went and fell down before his face and said, Behold, we are your servants. Joseph said to them, Do not be afraid, for I am in the place, am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. Oh, right there we could stop and have a party. But we got to keep going because God meant it for good. In order, somebody say in order. God's a God of order. In order to bring it about as it is this day, to save many people alive. They meant it for evil. God meant it for good. In order for us to save some people alive. Now turn to Colossians chapter 1. Amen. We still got a worshiper. Mm-hmm. Colossians 1, verse 12. Let's go. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. Who qualified us? Mm-hmm. To be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us. Who delivered us? Mm-hmm. Has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the sons of his love. Ooh, that's so good. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin. Through his blood. The blood is doing it. The blood has to go through. Blood has to flow. I want to talk to you on this subject matter. Let the blood flow. Tell your neighbor, just let it through. Let it flow. Amen. You may be seated. In this time, after we have just embarked on the studies of worship, we would find that there is a qualification that we must meet as believers. Believers not only worship God, but we have to come to the mastering of forgiveness. The reason I believe that God would have me to talk on this subject matter is because forgiveness is essential for you to live the life that he has called you to live. I also would be burdened in my heart to think that we do not have an area of forgiveness that needs to be dealt with. Oh, understand, in order for you to forgive others, first of all, it has to start with you. Thereby, being that you were once a sinner, saved now by the grace of God, there has been some things that have occurred in your life that you may not have even forgiven yourself for. You have already been forgiven, but yet you are challenged now to forgive yourself. Whenever that happens, there is something that goes forward, and if you have not dealt with forgiving yourself, it will make it impossible for you to forgive others. You will find that if you have a hard time forgiving others, it is because there is a root that you haven't dealt with you. Because truly, if one has forgiven itself, then it can embrace the forgiveness of God. Thereby, when you embrace the forgiveness of God, then you begin to give out what you have taken in. If you cannot give out forgiveness, then you're having a hard time giving it out. It is because you have not truly embraced what came in. Therefore, you wrestle with trying to forgive. And sometimes you'll say, I forgive, but I won't forget. Well, I just have some breaking news for you. Forgiveness is a part of forgetting. Paul says it this way, forgetting those things which are behind so that you can press on for those things which are before, which is the mark of Christ Jesus. But essentially, there are some things that happen to us that we don't even know that we need to forgive. And there is a challenge that we have while we are still yet in these human bodies, that we continue to make errors. And there's nobody so spiritually filled that they do not sin ever again. I just got to break the news to you. In order to keep the light off of you, sometimes you will project and point out somebody else's stuff. And then we become so worldly while we are in the church because we have not truly embraced relationship. In order to embrace the relationship with Jesus, you have to first allow the forgiveness to take place. Well, if you have embraced that true relationship, you will start to forgive others before they apologize to you. Now, get this, because we have become so worldly systematic that we think we need an apology. They didn't say they were sorry, so I'm going to hold back my forgiveness. I'm just going to tell you, I've looked from Genesis to Revelation. I've looked all through it, and nowhere in the Bible does it say that somebody needs to apologize to you before you forgive them. Yet, and still, we the people, we want an apology. Why is it that Jesus never asked you for one, but you are asking others for one? Because you have truly not embraced forgiveness. Because when you truly embrace forgiveness, it won't matter what they say or what they did, because you begin to understand who God is. And if God is sovereign, say Sava. Say reign. That means he is over everything. Nothing happens. I believe in John says, without him, nothing was made that was made. Nothing happens unless God allows it to happen. He's bad. He's all that and then some. He can control me. He can control you. He can control the winds, the waves, the sea, the mountain. He can control. He's God. He's all that and then some. He's bad. Woo! When you begin to recognize God as being all that, you won't need an apology. As a matter of fact, when somebody apologizes, it's almost like, for what? Because Paul says it this way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and wickedness in high places. Now, last I checked, God was above that too. In order for a principality to be a principality, God has to allow them to be one. God is so awesome, he can lock up a demon right now. Locked up. You know that one that was trying to get in your mind? Gotta lock him up. Duh. Yeah. Thought tried to come in, and all of a sudden the thought got ejected because God locked him up. You gotta understand, God is awesome. And so, y'all praying for me? I got to share this with you because I've been going through some things, and I know that now. I know the enemy did not want this word to get out because this word is going to change the rest of your life. You will never be the same after this. This word will change you. You didn't even know you need changing. Shh. You got changed. God is going to dial you in today. You getting dialed in, baby. You're going to understand that everything that you went through had purpose. These young men, got together in the book of Genesis. They get together, and these are the brothers of Joseph, so they're having a conversation. Because their father had just died. Years had passed by. And now their father had reached an old age, and their father has just died. And the brothers, the ones that sold Joseph into slavery, the one that lied on him, the ones that hated him, the ones that threw him into the pit, the ones who pretended like he was dead. Now they said, oh, daddy's dead, and maybe daddy is the one that's been protecting us. Let's go tell a lie to Joseph and tell him that daddy said to take care of us. Don't you harm us. Isn't that something? How? Well, we see the story. But if you really get in the story, it is really a picture of you. You know when you messed up and you thought of that good old lie that you had to tell the person, so you go tell the person that they'll think different of you if you come up with a lie that's good enough. Oh, see, y'all ain't gonna work with me today. But if you can really relate to me, don't raise your hand, but just give me a week. Just let me know that you can relate that to not only them that was lying to try to get the forgiveness. So they lied and came to their brother. Now get this, in the story, Joseph was 17 when they did all that stuff to him. But yet here he is now in an old age. I mean, years, 30-something years has passed by. And you see these brothers still have not forgiven themselves. They thought they had. They were kicking it with Joseph, eating off the land and taking care of that. Business as usual, but yet there was an area of unforgiveness. And sometimes we don't know that there's something that we have not dealt with. But if you're having a hard time in forgiving anybody for anything, I'm here to tell you it's not about them, it's about you. They don't have an issue, you do. And God is going to use somebody else so that he can heal your issue. And the moment he puts somebody on you to do something that's devastating to you, it's not so that you could get mad at them. It's because God is delivering you from you. Hallelujah. So the purpose of forgiveness is so that we can move in the will of God. Do you know that God designed you to save others? Listen, I know that you went through what you went through. I know they did what they did to you. I know they shouldn't have did it, but they did it anyway. But I'm here to tell you what they did not define who you are. As a matter of fact, you need to stop talking about what they did to you that done you so wrong and start talking about what they did to you that did you so right. And sometimes we have to forgive ourselves because we make mistakes that hurt other people. Tell you something about hurting other people. Sometimes God will allow you to hurt other people so that he could deal with you. A whole lot of folks have hurt me in my life, but the deepest hurt I ever went through is when I hurt somebody else. And it was that time when I hurt somebody else that God began to speak to me, because I'm in more pain than I could even explain. I didn't even know what was going on because I had caused the danger. I had caused the harm. And I began to seek God like I've never sought after God before. Sometimes God will let you mess up so that he can have you come after him, because it was through that hurt, through that pain, that I found the highest place on the house. Set my alarm clock for 5 in the morning. Got up every morning. Went to that high place and stretched myself out before God. Didn't know what to pray. All I needed to know is that God was there. And the more I prayed for forgiveness, all of a sudden I began to see God in ways I had never saw him before, because he took me in the hurt into a worship experience. And it was through the worship experience that I was able to forgive myself, because truly, you'll never be able to forgive yourself until you let go of you and enter the thrills of worship. When you enter the thrills of worship, it's no longer about you. It's all about him. And everything that you, listen, everything that you did doesn't matter anymore, because you are so encapsulated with him that you feel a healing that took care of what you did. God changes you. Now, I know most mistakes, it's not by one person. Most of the time it's 2 or 3. Sometimes 10 or 11. In Joseph's case, it was 11. But God works not in our way, but in his way. And so at the same time, I'm praying for forgiveness for me, I'm also praying for forgiveness for the ones who came against me. Has anybody ever came against you and it just didn't make no sense? And you wonder how I didn't bless them all this time, and all of a sudden I blessed them and now they're trying to curse me. And then you start looking at what they did wrong. But God says, I'm going to work through that too, baby. They didn't hurt you on purpose. They hurt you on purpose, not their purpose, but my purpose. The reason why I allowed them to hurt you is so that I could work some hurt out of you. And you didn't know that there's still some things that you needed to be delivered from. So I put them on you. They didn't do it. What they meant for evil, I meant it for good. I'm working the goody out of you. There's still some goody that you haven't tapped into. I'm going to get it out of you. Hallelujah. This forgiveness thing, it's real. Now check this out. Nothing happens unless God wants it to happen. If anybody does you wrong, why get mad at them?
Why talk about them? Because talking about them ain't gonna do nothing for you. I keep telling you, keep talking about God. If God allowed it, talk about him. If you don't even make any sense of it, just ask God. God, why am I going through this? God, what? Now you're having a conversation with God. That's all God wants from you, to have a deeper, more consecrated relationship. So he allows stuff to happen. Not so you can look at man, but so you can look at him. They did it. God allowed it. So who you gonna take it up with? Let's take it up with the root. If God allowed it, let's do it his way. Now check this out. Because God has called us and made us partakers. He made you. He redeemed you so that you could do his work. And we have become so worldly that we don't even know when we're getting played. The Bible says in Revelations, 12 and 10, it says that Satan is the accuser. If Satan is the accuser and you are turning around accusing somebody, then who are you working for if you're making an accusation? The moment you accuse somebody of something, you have just said that now you are working for Satan. But the moment that you forgive somebody for something and say they didn't mean it, what God meant, what they meant for evil, God meant it for good. Now you're working for God. Now you're setting them free. Now! The worldly spirit has come up in the church and has been holding the church in bondage. I bind that spirit in the name of Jesus, and you are loose and set free by the power and the truth of the living God. Oh, God. Go ahead and say it. It wasn't their fault. God is so awesome. He said, all right, accuser, you want to point the finger? He said, I'll mess up the world's way. And you think you pointing at somebody else, and you know three fingers are coming back at you. God said, one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Spirit. You point if you want to, but I'm a boomerang this thing. You're going to come back to me because I allow everything to happen. Nothing happens unless it comes through him. The enemy makes accusations. But we are life givers. Wait. When an accusation goes forward, there's guilt placed on people. Guilty people get held in bondage. And so then, are we going to hold them in bondage, or are we going to set them free? Come here for a minute, Mr. Tammy. Because in the spirit realm, if he does something against me, let me see your hand. Let me see it. Right there. Let go of me. Let me see your other hand. Right there. Stay right there. Tie him up. He's done something to me. In the spirit realm, he is now in bondage, and it's up to me to set him free. I have two things. I have forgiving or unforgiving. The long as I hold him unforgiven, he has to stay there. He is ineffective now for the kingdom of God because I am holding him in bondage in an area. You can't go anywhere until the forgiving power comes over. Now, I'm in the body of Christ, but yet I am holding him subjective unknowingly. But the Bible says when we forgive somebody, we set them free. So he's waiting on me to forgive him for something that wasn't his fault anyway. God just used him to do it, and it's just for me to go closer to God and not to hold him responsible. And when you forgive him, now he's able to praise God. Now he's able to be set free. You should wake up ready to forgive. I'm in a forgiving mode today. When you unforgiving, you mad. You angry. You have no peace. Because the peace that Jesus has given you is held in subjection behind your own unforgiveness. Jesus says it this way, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If they would have known that I'm a child of the Most High God, they never would have did what they did. But since you allowed it, what are you telling me? I'm just going to come closer and closer and closer and closer to you until you show me what you're up to. God said, my plan, I redeemed you so that you could redeem others. Joseph said, wasn't you? Now check this out. Check this out. Turn to Genesis 45 and 5. Can we put that up on the board? Genesis 45 and 5. We need to see. They are tripping over something that they did wrong to him. And check out what he says. He said, but now do not therefore be grieved or be angry with yourselves because you sold me here. In other words, I'm not giving you that much credit. You don't have that much power. Only God does. So he says, I would never put that much on anybody to give them credit that they can do anything to me. Only God is in control of my life. You can do anything, but God is in control. In order for you to do anything to me, you got to first go through God. And if God lets you through, amen. If God lets you to me, amen. If God lets you through, he's going to bring me through. And so what do? I turn back to God and say, it was not you that did this. It was God that allowed you to do this. If I'm going to give anybody some credit, I'm going to keep giving God all the credit. So when I was coming up, a couple of people didn't like it that I was serving God. They cussed me out. And I wanted to tell them a thing or three because I know how to cuss too. But they were propelling me to go after God. Because every time somebody came against me, I remembered who was for me. If God be for you, it's more than the whole wide world against you. And no matter what anybody does to you, you can say what you want, but it'll never change who I am. I'm God's own special people. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. Don't you see me shining? That's why you're hating on me, because you can't stand this bright light all up in here. Oh, goodness. I'm going to give God all the credit. Oh, God. The more they come against you, the brighter you get. Huh? What you smiling at? I was waiting for you to start talking about my smile because you was cussing me out a minute ago. But I'm lighting the room up with my smile. See, you'll change some stuff just by doing what God says to do. You be patient and wait on God. He'll come in the middle of your attack. When you begin to please God, he'll change the whole thing around. So he said, don't try to take the credit for doing me wrong. Because through what you did, God used you to hurt me so that I can preserve the earth. Oh, wait. He says, he made me a life preserver through you trying to destroy my life. In other words, there's no way for you to become valuable to the kingdom until you've gone through a few things. Listen, whatever you go through, God is bringing you through. Listen, because, listen, he wants the life that he's given you to be shared with a dark area. Because you were rescued from darkness. Now you have the power to rescue folks from darkness. And so then we cannot be so focused on what's going wrong. We got to stay focused on everything right. And he is the only one that's got it all together. So why don't we just stay focused on him? And then when people start seeing you, say, what is he looking at? But God. This joker, all he thinks about is God. Now he has started preaching the gospel because he's talking about God. That's right, you could turn a pimp into a preacher. So he won't give him credit. He won't give him no credit. Listen, when you blame people, you are giving them credit. God says, I'm not sharing my glory with no man. Whether it looks good or bad, he's working it for the good. So no matter what happens to you, stop blaming people. Because if it happened, God is up to something concerning you. Now check this out. Check it out. To preserve life, right? So get this. Some of us are really educated, and they got to see it from a different perspective. Where's my rag? Where's my red towel? What happened to my red towel? Anyway, so what happens is this. When there is blood flowing through the body, that means there's life in the body. But if a blood clot happens, the blood clot will stop blood from getting to a part of the body where it has the flow to keep it alive. So then, a blood clot is unforgiveness, and blood flowing, it's forgiveness. Which means that if you have unforgiveness, you will stop the blood flow from getting to where it's supposed to get. But when you have forgiveness, the blood will flow through. Listen, the clot will have to dissipate because forgiveness allows blood to flow. I thought about that for a minute because my mother went to the doctor because one of her toes had started changing color. The doctor said that there was no blood flow getting to the leg. I said, the devil is a lie. There is blood flow getting through the leg. And now she has blood flow because her toes are changing back to the normal color. But the doctor said, let's get rid of it. Might be a clot right there. Let me give you some blood thinners because in order for this foot to stay alive, there needs to be flow. So then, Jesus gives us his blood. What happens is we begin to develop worldly principles and the blood stops flowing. Life is ahead of you. God keeps you moving forward. Even when you want to quit, you keep going forward. But the blood has the flow. But when you're unforgiven, the blood does not go forward, the blood stays behind you because you've clotted up the blood from flowing to whoever it needs to get to. But the moment that you forgive, the blood goes out in front of you so that everything that you get to is covered by the blood, and you can give life to a dead situation no matter how dead their life might be, because you showed up and had forgiveness. Ah! In verse number 7, Joseph says, everything that happened to me was for purpose. You're not responsible. God allowed me to go through it so that I could preserve life. He used what you meant for evil for good. In other words, we don't have to wait for an apology. We got to run with the light as fast as we can. Because anybody that do anything to you, they're operating in darkness. Jesus was on his way to the cross. The week prior, he comes in and the people are shouting, Hosanna, blessed be the King in the name of the Lord. And he began. The Pharisees said, shut those people up. And Jesus started crying. He said, they don't know. They don't know. That's what I want to tell you today. You did it, but you didn't know. You didn't know. And you're forgiven already. Everything that has happened, you did it. But you're forgiven. Now that if you can accept the forgiveness, now you can forgive. When? All the time. Because here's the truth. We battle with forgiveness. Because you got too much worldly pride. But you've been called into the kingdom. There is no pride in the kingdom. It's only humility. Forgive them before they ask for an apology. Forgive them even if they're not sorry. Forgive them while they keep on doing what they're doing. Because when you forgive them, it'll stop them from doing what they're doing. The only reason why, somebody needs to help break that cycle of hell that they're going through. And you have the power. You have the power to do it. And it's all through this gift called forgiveness. Now notice when Jesus was on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, anyone that comes against you, they didn't mean it. They're just pushing you more towards God. And you got to know, if somebody lies on you at work, amen. If it gets you fired, double amen. Because through your struggle, you're going to see God in a way you never saw him before. When you begin to forgive like God forgives, listen, the enemy is really mad at this word. Because he's been trying to tear up relationships. Because, listen, we're in the church, but we're not being the church. Because the church is Christ Jesus. And he's forgiving. And if somebody do something wrong to you, just forgive them. And so often, now check this out. The ones that love Jesus, Jesus loved, was shouting, crucify him. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Isn't it something that the one that you love the most always do something to irritate you? And you want to fight, tell them off, and be mad at them? For what? I'm going to ask you a question. When did getting mad at you, getting mad at somebody help you? Never. They can be going on about their business. You sitting up there mad at something. They don't even know you're really tripping. You on your way having a good time, and they over in the house just mad. Listen, just forgive them. When we operate in kingdom living, listen, the devil will never destroy another relationship ever again. Because you operate in forgiveness. Truth be told, they didn't mean it. How you know? Because they're married to you. Relationship, there's going to be friction. But we have to be ready to forgive. Because, listen, you hold power. I'm talking resurrection power through forgiving. Say, I'm ready.
To forgive.
Now, just do this for a second. Say, they didn't mean it.
And I'm cool.
I'm good. Amen. Give God a hand of praise.